to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah Syndicate.
Welcome to another episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, the podcast about anything and everything. I'm your host, Josiah, at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. For those of you that already know the process of the show, welcome back to another episode. Those of you guys that have never heard of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes before or heard an episode before, the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast is completely different than the Comic Syndicate podcast that I normally host. These ones, I take down and break down different topics across the board about everything. I give my thoughts, opinions about it, my personal experiences, and I bring you guys numbers and facts to a certain degree. And I break down, like, how do you guys feel about them? How do you ladies feel about these? So I came across these ones. I've been busy, and one of the weird things that have been happening to me during this whole past several months, I would say, is the past month, I think I've been losing a lot of sleep, and I'm normally a busy guy. Prior, the second job just kicked my ass. So the way I've been losing sleep lately has been because of stress, I guess. And I know everyone's kind of stressed out. And I thought pulling this one, you know, an odd topic like this was relatable. And this is what I'm going to throw at you guys. So this is the topic I'm breaking down for you guys this week. This week's topic is 25 myths about sleep that are keeping you up at night. Hitting the snooze button is great for you and other bogus sleep claims. This article came out May 4th, 2020, so literally a few weeks ago. Again, with everything that's going on in the world, I thought I'd give you guys something similar but different. I have hit sleep and sleep deprivation and sleep apnea to a certain degree, and even sleep paralysis. This one might I'm pretty sure this one is going to contain a little bit of everything because I did breeze through and check these ones out. But again, I thought it was interesting. I'm going to go through my personal thoughts, feelings, and experiences. And then as I'm going through these, I want you guys to hit me up on the side. How do you guys feel about these? And have you guys experienced anything like these? So even before I start the list, I just want to let you guys know. I don't want to refer too much. I want to get you guys lost. So the way I've been experiencing these sleep challenges, I guess, are going to be different than yours. And honestly, across the board, I think we're all going to differ. That's what makes these deep dives and rabbit holes interesting to pull off. At least hopefully I can give you guys some facts or shit to talk about with your friends. And you know what? Have a conversation, have a debate about these. All right, in tough times like these, it can be challenging to rest easy. So it makes sense if you find your mind racing before bed or you wake up in the middle of the night after a fitful sleep. Challenging to rest easy. I think I'm working more now. That's just a knock on myself. And honestly, I think I'm working more now. A lot of people I know, look, I'm very thankful for the job I have, and I'm thankful for all the work I have just in general. So I'm thankful and grateful for both of them. Or for just the job. And to know now more that I'm working more than when I was working two jobs. So putting these podcasts together. And this is not a bitch fucking session. This is seriously what I'm going through. And yes, bills, rent, I mean, up shit that we all stress about. Like, that's relatable, number one, there. So the bitch that I'm always working all the time. No, like, I'm working on the house. I'm up on roofs, fixing shit. I'm going to the park. I'm going on hikes. Like, I'm doing shit. And I'm creating shit still. So I'm up to a lot of things. Like, I haven't felt that depression yet. Or cathartic state where, like, I'm just home all the time. No, like, I'm busy. I'm doing shit. So hopefully if you guys are losing sleep about anything, this is something that you guys might have, you know, a little bit of a liking for or something that you guys can relate to. But your lack of sweet dreams may in fact be because you're falling for a few of the worst sleep myths. For something we spend about a third of our lives actively doing, we understand astonishingly nothing about sleep. The internet is flooded with all sorts of erroneous information about how long we should snooze, how to sleep effectively, and how certain lifestyle choices such as diet impact the quality of our Z's. But don't worry, we're here to set the record straight. With the help of some top-notch sleep scientists, we've compiled the 25 biggest sleep whoppers, and crucially, the reasons why they're so wrong. So sleep tight, and if you're still finding yourself tossing and turning into the wee hours, be sure to read the 20 doctor-approved tips to get a full night's sleep. And if you guys ever want this article, I don't know why I don't have the link on me, but hit me up on the site, and I can shoot you the link if you guys are interested. It's a cool site. Now I just feel like I'm dropping the ball already. But here you go. Number one, insomnia is physical rather than mental. We often think that not being able to sleep is solely the result of physical issues. Too much caffeine or sugar, for instance. But this is just a silly notion among sleep myths. The reality is that being unable to sleep is usually the result of being unable to quiet our minds, an issue many of us are struggling with right now. So far, does that apply to any of you guys? Sleep is all about calming our brains, which means worry is sleep enemy number one for most, says Michael Larson, PhD, founder and president of Sleep Shepherd. As we implement natural ways to slow our brains and improve our sleep by altering our environment, be patient in finding a good combination of schedule, room darkness, temperature, and comfort that works for you. Okay, for me, let's break down those things. So, environment, my environment is fantastic right now. Good combination of schedule. Okay, I'm not getting out of the second job at midnight anymore. I'm not crashing by 3 o'clock every morning anymore. Room darkness, blackout curtains, temperature, not AC yet. It's not summertime in California yet, so we don't need the AC going on yet. But fans, open windows, so circulation, yes. And comfort, yes. I'm always comfortable every time I go to sleep. But I still have terrible sleep patterns, and that's just for me, guys. So how do you guys feel about those things already? Number two, our brains shut off during sleep. We go through 4 or 5 cycles of changing brain activity during a typical night, moving between slow activity rates in deep sleep to high activity during dreaming, when brain activity is comparable to being fully awake. So while it is obvious to stay away from stimulants before bedtime that will keep our brains humming, it is also good to avoid depressants that interfere with the needed cycling of brain activity, says Larson. Number three. Okay, let's go back to number two. Do you guys need anything to go to sleep? Okay, you know what? If I've had a long day, which it's been a long fucking month and a half, it feels like. I've been working so much and I might have to work on my Memorial Day 3-day weekend is going to get robbed from me, which I think I greatly deserve and need. Actually, everyone at the office that's working from home in my office right now, we fucking need it. But that's just me. I like to reward myself with beer, so I've been probably having a few more beers than normal. And if I really can't go to sleep, then I'll rely on fucking some edibles, dude. And honestly, when I take edibles, I think it makes me more creative, and it's like, fuck, my mind doesn't race necessarily, but it's just one of those, again, stimulants where it's like, ooh, I can be creating shit, like, I'm more hyper-focused, which is weird. It's not weird. Number three, snoring is common and nothing to worry about. I'm a snorer straight up. How are you guys? And how do you, your significant others feel about you? Snoring is an annoyance to your partner, but it can be more serious too, according to the National Sleep Foundation. Snoring, especially frequent, I do. Loud snoring, I don't want to say loud snoring for me. I don't know. May be a symptom of sleep apnea, which can increase the risk of developing cardiovascular disease and diabetes. And diabetes does run in my family. And cause daytime sleepiness and impaired performance. I'm not like homeboy that has the tattoo on his face that says sleepy all the time. fucking don't know why I drew a blank on his name. No. I think I'm more mentally drained more than anything. I never get daytime sleepiness, and I feel like if I take a nap during the day, it's going to interfere with my full sleep I can be having or getting when I finally lay my head down on my pillow. How do you guys feel about that? Okay, and impaired performance. Do I ever feel I have impaired performance? Probably this past month, but it's the new, I don't want to say job, it's a new department that's been lingering and just, it's been stressful, honestly. I'm a guy that doesn't get stressed out ever. Like, the stress doesn't get to me, but I've been fucking completely overwhelmed, which is very on the line of saying I'm stressed. Number four, narcolepsy means you fall asleep randomly during the day. Narcolepsy is perhaps the most misunderstood condition. The goofy depictions we see of the disorder on television shows and the like, where the person is giving a presentation or having a conversation and falls asleep snoring mid-sentence, doesn't really capture the reality of narcolepsy. In fact, narcolepsy is the result of not getting enough quality sleep. I guess I could be narcoleptic, perhaps, but although I just don't fall asleep randomly, where the line between sleep and waking is blurred. My days are blurred right now, and I'm not even going to bullshit. Everything has just been jumbled for me for a while, so possibly, while that can mean you fall asleep during the day, it is just as often manifested as general sleepiness throughout the day, or in other ways such as cataplexy, loss of muscle control, or sleep paralysis. Holy shit, and I've spoken about this many times before. I do suffer from sleep paralysis, which is the inability to speak when waking up or falling asleep. Okay, so I've been getting those since I was about 12 years old in places, in different homes, when I was getting more sleep as a kid. So I don't know. I think mine's different, but I thought this was an interesting article. It was going to touch on several things that I've experienced and have spoken about on all the podcasts before. So how do you guys feel about it? Have you guys gone through any of these, experienced any of these? And how do you guys feel about these? So as I'm going through them, I got like 20 more. And for more information about lack of disease, check out 7 ways, blah, 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 blah. Being sleep deprived affects your body. Number five, you can catch up on sleep. We've all had those intense weeks of work or crazy vacation weekends where we've stayed up until the sun comes up and had to function the next day. While we can get away with this every now and again, making a habit of it can be trouble. One of the most common sleep myths is thinking that we can function with little sleep for a while, then catch up in the long term, but your body doesn't really work that way. Your body needs consistency, and the less sleep you get, the more you disrupt yourself hormonally, says Jamie Logie, a personal trainer, nutritionist, and health coach who hosts the podcast Regain Wellness. When you don't sleep enough, your body assumes some sort of trauma. Must be going on, and there's no reason to be awake when you should be sleeping. I don't know. My body is pretty comfortable that we don't get enough sleep prior to not getting any sleep or as good sleep. Actually, I think I'm getting better sleep now. It's just more work. This raises one's stress hormones, primarily cortisol, and can cause plenty of trouble. A little of this is not bad, but chronic secretion of it can lead to a wide variety of horrible diseases and conditions, he adds. Are you regularly stressed out? Number six, you don't need a sleep routine. Bedtime isn't just for kids when it comes to sleeping. Having a routine is key. You need to create a wind-down routine at least an hour out from sleep in your body. Oh, I'm sorry, so your body recognizes that sleep is coming. I love it. I'm going to trick my fucking body like, it's sleepy time. Just follow me. Your body needs balance, so it means going to bed the same time each night and sticking with it. No. By the time I'm done working, I get out of work at 6. By the time I'm done, it depends on the week, the day. I'm busy this weekend and I don't even have a 3-day weekend like everyone else. I'm going to be working the weekend. So I probably knock out about 1 o'clock every night. So you know what? Technically, yeah, I'm getting a routine. Your body needs balance, so it means going to bed at the same time each night and sticking with it. The problem is we tend to stick with it through the week, and then it goes to hell on the weekend, and it can take days to get back on track. And mine's normally 1 o'clock. By the time you do, it's almost the weekend again, and the whole cycle can start over. You need to be committed to it day in and day out. 9 o'clock is too early. 10, 11, 12, 11:30 midnight is possibly doable for me. Number 7 is alcohol is a good sleep aid. And yes, I do enjoy a beer every now and then. We've all felt the drowsiness that comes over us after a few beers or glasses of wine. But while it's tempting to think this makes alcohol a useful sleep aid, it's far from it, according to Parinaz Samimi, a yoga instructor and sleep and wellness expert. Alcohol may assist in helping an individual fall asleep, but it also interferes with what is considered quality sleep. Alcohol causes, quote-unquote, REM sleep fragmentation, during which REM stage sleep is either shortened or extended, causing a disruption in the overall sleep pattern of the individual. Number 8, your sleep patterns remain the same through most of your life. The amount of sleep you need changes throughout your life, says Kimberly Hershanson, LMSW of Revital Life Therapy. While pregnant or when dealing with an illness, more sleep is beneficial. Some people are okay with 6 hours of sleep. Holy shit. They're even good with 5 hours of sleep. It matters what makes you feel good and well-rested. Not getting enough sleep is actually one of the 7 bad mistakes that are weakening your immune system. Okay, we're going to have to deep dive those some other time. Number 9, bedtime is when you disconnect from your day. I usually believe in this already, but apparently this is a myth. I hate screens. I honestly didn't record yesterday because... look, I haven't had time to read and to put something together that I've had in the back burner, an episode like this. I went deep diving for you guys. And I think more deep dives are going to happen because the whole reading and finding stuff is getting tougher to do. Not because the information isn't there, but because I'm so burnt out mentally by the end of the day. But again, how do you guys feel about these? My idea of perfect wind down is... literally getting out of the office, leaving the fucking dining room, grabbing a beer and coming, chilling into the room, putting on some fucking music, no screens after that, and just fucking chill. Apparently, that's bullshit. We often think going to bed is when we should leave our day and its ups and downs behind us, falling into comforting sleep. But to effectively calm your mind, reviewing your day, and particularly what went well, can have a positive effect on your sleep and mental fitness. I really don't want to recount my day. How do you guys feel about that? Do you guys want to recount your day? I'm like, sweet, I succeeded here, but fuck me. The other 25 files throughout the day fucking kind of suck some cock. What? How do you guys feel about it? Especially now, like, fuck. It really sucked homeschooling my 5 kids. I couldn't have any time to myself. Like, it's understandable. We're all experiencing shit in different ways. So, I mean, again, I'm making light of it. But I'm making light of it for a fucking reason. So hopefully this is funny to you guys. Or hopefully an eye-opener. All right. Making a daily gratitude list before bed by writing down 10 things you are grateful for. You know what? I'm out on this one, doctor. Anything from your family, legs to walk on, or reality TV. You know what? I guess I kind of do that every night when I pray. I mean, I pray every night. I'm not saying you guys have to. I'm not saying you guys have to do anything I do. But when I pray, that's when I, you know, rewind my day, I guess, and kind of like just I'm thankful for everything that I've been given. But that's me again. Focus on what is good in your life as opposed to what is going wrong with your life calms you down before going to sleep. She also advises reading affirmations every night. Who's a rock star? You're a rock star. Ending the day with a positive note that helps catch some rest with less worry. Interesting. Number 10, as you get older, you don't need as much sleep. Sure, some adults might get up at 4:30 every morning, but that doesn't mean they don't need a full night's sleep. Bullshit. While your body requires less sleep as you get older, that doesn't mean you should be sleeping for only 4 or 5 hours a night. Touche, doctor, says Sydney Zyverts, health and nutrition investigator of consumersafety.org. She points to a study published in Sleep Health, the Journal of the National Sleep Foundation, which recommended that newborns get 14 to 17 hours of sleep, lucky fuckers, each night, while adults ages 18 to 64 should get 7 to 9 hours sleep each night. Again, assholes. And for more ways sleep is related to age, check out another site. Number 11, pressing snooze will help you get more rest. Honestly, I wake up at, oh God, it depends on the fucking morning, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30. I do make a point to take a shower every morning and go to work though. So same time, just my sleep patterns are weird. Pressing that snooze button is incredibly satisfying in the moment. But contrary to popular belief, you are not actually gaining quality sleep. The snooze button will actually make you feel more tired, says Zyberts. It wakes you from a deep part of your sleep cycle each time you doze off, causing you to feel groggy. In the long run, a snooze pressing habit will eat into your ability to get a deep sleep and the rest you need. Number 12, the best sleep comes before midnight. Benjamin Franklin was full of good advice, and although early to bed and early to rise, I'm actually a night owl and an early bird, which sucks. Early to rise makes a healthy man, or makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Has plenty of adherence. It's not necessarily true for everyone. If you find that 1 a.m. or later feels like the best time for you to sleep, there is nothing wrong with trusting your gut. What's most important is that most people time their sleep in accordance with their own body clock by going to bed when they feel sleepy. You know what? Cheers to that, because I do that. Do you guys do any of these ones? Or do you guys stay up? Or are you guys wired to stay up differently? And yeah, how do you guys feel about any of these? Number 13, sleeping more than 8 hours is excessive. I feel like 6 hours is kind of excessive. Again, it depends on who you are and how much sleep your body needs. Any other tidbits of information are likely one of the many sleep myths. Sleep need is very individual, and some normal healthy adults do best with 9 hours nightly, says Darley. Anything less than the amount of sleep you need can result in impaired mood, driving, and cognitive abilities. Number 14. You must get a minimum of 8 hours sleep. That'd be nice if I got at least 8 hours sleep. Of course, the reverse is also true. If you are someone who functions at top form, yep, with just 4 or 5 hours of sleep, more power to you. Fucking thank you, doctors. I was wondering where you guys were going to back me up here. According to the Wall Street Journal, a number of studies have found that 7 hours may be the optimal amount of sleep time. So stop sweating it if you aren't getting a full 8 hours. Oh my gosh, I wish I could get 8 hours. 15, you need an alarm clock. Turns out, how do you guys feel about this one? Even before I jump into this one, it might have changed over the past 2 months now. My natural body clock wakes me up at 5:30, 6, 6:30, 7. So how do you guys? Turns out alarm clocks shouldn't dictate the amount of rest you get. Someone who is getting just the right amount of sleep usually wakes up without needing any prodding. An alarm is an artificial and potentially damaging contrivance. If you are woken by an alarm, you haven't gotten enough sleep, says Darley. You can move your bedtime earlier or wake time progressively later until you wake refreshed on your own. Number 16, watching TV before bed winds you down. Nope, everything off for me, not even reading winds me down. Music, just ambiance, light music. Actually, yeah, light music, light some candles for me, is perfect for me. Ever wonder how you can binge watch your favorite Netflix shows until dawn? Well, it's because TV actually activates the mind and keeps you awake. Exposure to the blue light of the screen can disrupt a person's natural circadian rhythm and make it more difficult both to fall asleep and stay asleep. Instead, you may feel energized due to the increase in endorphins, says Darley. The same is true of computers and ebooks. You know what? Yeah, that's probably why I'm so fucking sick and tired of screens. As I'm literally recording in front of a screen, literally two screens for you guys. All right. In one study, participants reading an ebook took longer to fall asleep and had reduced evening sleepiness, as well as reduced alertness the following day. than when they read a printed book. I agree with that. If I do read, I prefer anything in printing just because I'm old school. I like the feel of the paper. I love the smell of a book in my hands. It just, I don't know, I'm one of those weird guys. You also want to avoid staring at your phone. So check out, you know, or stop checking out there. Number 17, light exposure doesn't really matter. To me, it does. Give me blackout curtains all day long. Similar to the effect TV and computer screens have on your circadian rhythms, so too does the light in your home. It is best to be in dim light conditions for the hour or more before bed, suggests Darley. It is also important to get bright light in the morning for 30 minutes, plus bursts of light every couple of hours throughout the day. All right. Number 18, bedtime is more important than the time you wake up. While consistency and routine make all the difference in effective sleep habits, your bedtime is actually less important than the time you wake up, according to Michael Bruce, PhD, the sleep doctor, and a Sleep Score Labs advisory board member. Wake time is the anchor of your biological clock, says Bruce. So if you wake up at 6:30 a.m. during the week, you need to wake up at the same time on the weekends. Bruce adds that going to bed early on some nights, when you feel exhausted, can also throw off their circadian clock. Interesting. Even on the weekends, it's the only time I get some sleep. And I say that like as I'm trembling, like, fuck. You know what? No. So technically, I'm following this doctor's advice. Although I do allow myself to sleep in every now Saturday or Sunday, although I have to work this weekend. So we'll throw that out for this weekend. Number 19, tiring yourself out is a good way to fall asleep. I agree with this, but depends on how. While a regular workout routine is a key part of a healthy lifestyle, you should not exercise late at night. Working out before bed actually does not often tire you out, says Hershenson. Bruce recommends exercising no later than 4 hours before you go to sleep. Number 20, spicy food gives you nightmares. Your friends have probably joked at some point about how an intense meal they had gave them scary dreams. If they were having nightmares, it probably wasn't the habanero. The fact of the matter is there has never been a study that has proven a correlation between spicy foods and nightmares, says Sarah Brown, a community wellness expert for Safewise. It's more likely that eating these foods before bedtime might simply upset your stomach. Number 21, food has little impact on your sleep habits. While what you eat might not give you nightmares, that is not to say that it has no impact on your sleep behavior whatsoever. Lettuce, which contains high levels of potassium necessary for a healthy nervous system, is a high producer of calcium and magnesium, the key ingredients in keeping the body asleep for longer, says Daniel Tersini, founder of meditation service provider Recharge. He adds that kiwi is another food that has been found by researchers at Taipei Medical University to improve the quality of sleep for those suffering from insomnia. I don't suffer from insomnia, and I can't say I've heard kiwis help out. So guess what I'm buying this weekend when I go shopping? Participants fell asleep faster, stayed asleep for longer, and had more peaceful and rejuvenating sleep compared to the study's control group. Number 22. I'm winding down here, guys. So if you guys ever, I'll save that for later. 22, the most important thing is how long you sleep. It's a classic case of quality over quantity. All right, how do we feel about this? Let's break it down. Here it goes. The hours you sleep are far less important than the quality of the sleep you are getting overall. Research has found that interrupted sleep is worse for a positive mood than a shorter amount of sleep, debunking one of the most pervasive sleep myths. Melatonin is the hormone naturally produced by the body that makes us feel sleepy and keeps us asleep, explains Dr. Joe Lichten, PhD, professional speaker on health and wellness, author of Reboot, How to Power Up Your Energy, Focus, and Productivity. It's called the Dracula hormone because it only comes out at night. for that reason, I did not know that. It's best to dim the lights a couple of hours before bedtime and turn off electronics. I still don't like rely on anything, but that's me. Number 23, even though I said I have a beer every now and then and, you know, fucking rock out some weed. 23, weekends are times to throw out your sleep routine. People tend to sleep on a regular schedule during the weekdays, then go to bed late and get up late during the weekends, says Louis Hendon, co-founder of Paleo Magazine. This irregular pattern during the weekends prevents your body from getting into a good circadian rhythm. I should know that word inside and out by now. Number 24, if you can't fall asleep, keep trying. There is nothing worse than waking up at 2 a.m. and staring at the ceiling, hoping to eventually drift off. And I think that happened to me about 1 on Sunday night. Next thing you know, half the night has passed and you're just getting more frustrated. Instead of waiting for sleep to come, Hendon recommends that restless sleepers should just get up and do something else for a bit until they get sleepy again. This then allows their brain to better associate going to bed with actually going to sleep. I can't say I do that often. I should write more during those nights, but I think I've been so stressed. The last thing I want to do is work, and if that makes sense. Because then I'm really not going to be getting any sleep because I do or will be working too much by that point. Daniel Tersini of Recharge adds that the average healthy person should be able to fall asleep within 20 minutes. If you still feel restless after 30 minutes, do not force it. Staring at the clock will not help. Something in the environment or your mind is keeping you stimulated, he says. Read a book or take a warm bath to relax. Ooh, I gotta fucking spend more time in the bathtub now. If you feel anxious, I don't really feel anxious. Remove your worries from your mind by writing them down. I mean, I write, and I still write, but 25, never wake up a person who is sleepwalking. I'm sure we've all heard this. Among sleep myths, one persists. Waking a sleepwalker will lead them to have a heart attack or enter a coma. This is nonsense. While there are rare cases when a sleepwalker might get themselves into trouble, generally they just need to be led back to bed where they can wake up on their own. Likewise, for parents out there, waking a child from a night terror is not going to harm your kid. Night terror is a sleep disorder. Okay. Well, I get night terrors too. Not to be confused with nightmares. Most common in children, that typically occurs during the first 4 hours of stage 3 to 4, non-rapid eye movement, NREM sleep. It does not hurt a child to be woken during an episode of night terrors, although it can be a difficult task, says Hillary Thompson, a writer specializing in family and wellness. The trick with the night terrors is to wake the child before they occur, about an hour to 90 minutes into the sleep cycle, which stops the cycle and can actually prevent the child from experiencing them. All right, guys, just because I've had issues in my life sleeping, and even as an adult now, I have issues sleeping, and I was losing sleep personally because the fucking stress. I mean, I'm being honest with you guys. I always am. I hated reading, and throughout the different podcasts, you guys, it's a reoccurring theme, but I was losing sleep over it, and I hated fucking reading to the point where it's like, fuck, I gotta fucking put a fucking show. I gotta put 2 shows. I gotta put fucking 4 shows together. And string them together is tough to fucking do, especially when the last thing you want to do is the thing you love the most, and that's reading or writing. So, because I have issues with sleep, and it's just something that's been part of my life since I was a kid, and just different versions of I am a night owl and an early bird, and my sleep patterns, I don't know how. Look, I thought it was going to be something interesting, and I hope it is. How do you guys feel about these topics? Do you guys experience any of these things? Do you disagree with this article? If you guys want this article, hit me up on the side, or I will post it up somewhere along the lines somewhere. But yes, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. You guys are awesome. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the Comic Syndicate and Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast anywhere you guys can find podcasts, but you guys have to subscribe under the Comic Syndicate banner. If you guys jump onto Podbean, download the Podbean app, and every time you see that rabbit, deep dives and rabbit holes, that's exactly what it's going to be. You're not going to get any pop culture talk. You're just going to get a different breakdown of different things. And I have been working for the podcast, guys, so I have more deep dives. I think I have like 5 deep dives and rabbit holes now coming down the pike, and I have only one Comic Syndicate episode to release. But if you guys are enjoying it, share the podcast more than anything. I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter. I'm at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Share the podcast, guys. If you guys like pop culture, hit up the Comic Syndicate. Share that one. Please rate it if you guys get the chance to, and if you guys just listen and hang out for deep dives and rabbit holes. They're coming out like crazy, these fucking rabbits. So, yes, share the podcast more than anything and rate us, share us. Subscribe anywhere, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. All right, I'll catch you guys when I catch you guys. Peace out.